Hi, everybody. Welcome to Two Out the First. It is April the 2nd, 2024. I'm Ryan Ballengee. Thanks for being here. It's my mom's birthday today, so happy birthday to my mom, if she's listening, and if not, I'm calling you later, so it'll be okay. I'm Ryan Ballengee again. Thanks for being here. We haven't done a show in a while. It's probably been, about a week since we did a show, and the reason for that is an interesting travel schedule I had last week. I left Tuesday morning to go down, Tuesday afternoon, really, to go to South Carolina, played Old Barnwell in Aiken, drove down to Bluffton near the Hilton Head area, had a couple of rounds with some friends, played golf with Bryson Nimmer, who plays on the Korn Ferry Tour, got to meet him and had a great time with him. Good luck to him this week at the Landings Club, where they're having the Club Car Championship at the Korn Ferry Tour, and then came here to Myrtle Beach, where I am now with my family, to visit my sister-in-law who lives here in town, and got my dog, Penny, and her dog, Ruby, who are here with me today while I'm recording this, and the kids are out having a little bit of fun this morning while I get some work done. So apologies for not doing the show for the last week. The show is presented by our friends at Swannies. Check them out, swannies.co. Use the promo code GOLFNEWSNET25 and save 25% off your first order. Things are looking great on the website. Lots of capsules out there, ready for spring. If you're still in need of a great jacket, their anoraks are awesome. Their polos are tremendous, made with recycled fabric called Reprieve. Check that out at swannies.co. Use that promo code GOLFNEWSNET25 and save 25%. Okay, so this might be a little bit of backstretching in terms of time to talk about things, but the first thing I'd really like to talk about actually is Nelly Korda. We haven't talked a whole ton about the LPGA this year in terms of recaps. I mean, maybe we talked about it a little bit here and there, but we've got something here. I tweeted, I think after her second win, so that would have been at Palos Verdes, the Sayre Park Championship, that after she, and this was kind of before she won, but that her winning might be proof to her that she can finally be the golfer so many people in golf have thought she could be for years. And that's not to say that she's not been a great player. That win at the Sayre Park Championship was her 10th on the LPGA. And then she picked up her 11th at the Ford Championship. She won it by a couple of strokes, Sunday 65, on a great golf course. I thought the Gilbert, Arizona host was very, very good. Seville was very, very good. Seemed like the players liked it a lot. First year for the tournament. So one of two things can kind of happen in those first years of events where you either get exactly who you think should win, like the best player in the field wins, or you get a total random, and you got the best player this year. So that's a great start for this tournament. I mean, Nelly's going to come back next year, add some star power already to the field. That's great. That's great for that tournament to get off the ground so well. But now Nelly Korda has won three tournaments in a row. She hasn't won three LPGA events in a row. She's won three starts in a row. And the LPGA record is 5. So she puts that in jeopardy this week because she plays the T-Mobile match play, which is in Las Vegas, and there's a different format for that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But just really, really cool to see her establish herself as number one again at the Sayre Park Championship, and then to establish that win on top of a getting back to the top of the mountain type deal where she's clearly number one in the world, and she's setting herself up for a year that we might not have seen since maybe MB Park won 3 majors a decade ago in a season. And that's really, really special. That's really, really cool for the LPGA. It's something people should be talking about. It's really enjoyable to watch her play golf when she plays like she can. And she's dealt with injuries the last couple of years. When she's healthy, she's playing great. When she's engaged, she's playing great. It's now at 11 wins. You know, that's a long cry from being Annika. I get that. But she can do something really special this year and cement herself as a star. I'm always reluctant to say this kind of thing because I've said it so many times over the years. And I believe it. But at the same time, I don't want to have to believe it. Which is that the LPGA needs an American star. It just does. The LPGA does better when the best player is an American and they're somehow captivating to people either because of their skill or unfortunately, how they look or whatever it is. And Lilia Vu is an incredible player, won two majors last year, three wins, awesome campaign, and I hope she has so many more just like that in her. But she was so brand new last year, and you kind of have to follow up a great year with another great one to be a star. It's just kind of how it works. So Nelly Korda has been doing the work. She's won a major. She probably should have won more by now, but she's won a major. She's won plenty of time. She's been visible publicly. So for her to start winning, she is a star. She's already been established. And that's what the tour really needs, to get more in the public consciousness, get more people watching. They're casually watching. I know most weeks, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, the LPGA is not broadcast in the best place to capture the most people. And the fewer people are watching golf right now. I mean, the numbers are in week after week on the PGA Tour, and audiences are down 30%. And I have not dug into the numbers in the same way for the LPGA or the DP World Tour or the Champions, but I'm assuming it's just kind of an across-the-board cut. It's not as good. And that's really unfortunate. But women's sports is having a moment. It's, I think, started to kind of reach that point where there's no turning back, that people are invested in women's sports, that people are interested in it, that the audience continues to grow for it, that the appetite continues to grow for it. And I think that's wonderful. And to potentially have a star in Nelly Korda that could capitalize on that moment would be great for the LPGA. That all said, the unfortunate situation for Golf Channel was that they only showed about an hour of the Ford Championship on Sunday. They basically got the end. And the reason for that was there was expected to be bad weather at the Ford Championship, and they had to change the schedule, and they had to have it so they couldn't do it live. They couldn't have it in the prime time window because they wanted to get it done. So what wound up happening is they had to shift to having some kind of streaming option on Peacock and then show the tournament, the rest of it, live as soon as the Champions Tour ended in Mission Hills, which is, interestingly enough, the old venue for what was then the ANA Inspiration, the Kraft Nabisco, the Dynasure, what is now the Chevron Championship. And that, oh man, that's just a sharp pain in the eye right there for the LPGA to then have to come on after your old major championship venue, and then you only get an hour. And it was not the people who broadcast for Golf Channel, the LPGA team, does a fantastic job. I really love their work. Grant Boone's great. Morgan Pressel's great. Kay Cockrell's great. They're wonderful. They do a great job. But unfortunately, people who run the network have a contract that puts them in a difficult position when this type of thing happens, where they have to show the PGA Tour umbrella events first. They can't just say, okay, well, we like the LPGA more, the LPGA is more important or whatever, and we're going to show that instead. That's contract breach. And they're just not going to do it. So you see the Champions Tour, and I love the Champions Tour. I have nothing against the Champions Tour. Retief Goosen won. I'm happy about that. I enjoy watching the Champions Tour, as I've said before in this show. There's so many people who crap on the Champions, and I'd like good golf. I don't care where it's being played, which tour it is. I like good golf. So I'm going to watch it, but I would rather see the LPGA, especially given what Nelly Korda was trying to accomplish. Nothing against Retief Goosen winning. It's not the same as Nelly Korda winning three in a row and being the first player in 8 years to do it. Arya Jatanyagarn was the last to do it. Before that was Imbi Park. It doesn't happen often. And, you know, having a record of Nancy Lopez and Annika Sorenstam being five, well, if Nelly wins this week, then, man, like, the Chevron's going to be huge. I mean, it could be your chance to win a second major, a chance to tie the record for five in a row. She won Las Vegas. There's a lot on the line there. But they kind of shoot themselves in the foot at Golf Channel because they have a contract that doesn't allow them to pivot very well. And everyone at Golf Channel knows that. I know that pretty well. The public doesn't know that. And I tweeted out, you know, how in the world is this still the case where the LPGA doesn't get the priority in that slot? And the reason is contractual. It's purely contractual. But that doesn't make it any less frustrating. It doesn't make it any less frustrating for the people who broadcast the LPGA. It doesn't make it any less frustrating for the people who are on the LPGA, work at the LPGA. There's just really nothing they can do about it. They can put it on streaming and put it on Peacock, but without warning and without much promotion, there's no way people watch it. That's how those kind of things go. And streaming's hard to get people to watch just at a moment's notice. So not as many people probably saw Nelly Korda win as they could have. And then you get into this, you know, the response, the cat and mouse game of people who respond that are so overtly sexist that they don't even respond to the comment. They just go, you know, like, the old guys have beat the crap out of the LPGA. And then you look at their timeline, they're exactly who you think they are. And that, you know, you go and block them. That there is that attitude out there of, you know, oh, well, the champions is better. And you can have that. You can have that view. It's totally up to you. It's your choice. But then there are people who go, well, there are just more people who are interested in the Champions Tour. Nope, it's not it. It's contractual. LPGA does better ratings. They get more stuff on network TV. They have better sponsors. They have more money coming in. All of that is the reality. So, okay, fine. Let's dismiss that argument. It's just contractual. And it creates unfortunate situations like this one where weather plays a role, where being in the same time zone plays a role, and I just wish there were better coordination between the tours about this kind of thing, particularly between the LPGA and the champions, and the PGA Tour to a degree. But you know what the PGA Tour schedule is. That's a monolith. It's not really changing. The champions is a pretty long set schedule. They don't change a whole lot. But at the same time, I also don't want to ask the LPGA, oh, well, just uproot your entire schedule that's become successful and is becoming more successful to have a distinct Florida swing so you can be done on the Eastern time zone when the champions are playing on the West. That's also unfair. I don't know what the right answer is, but it is extremely frustrating to contend with it. And then you just kind of figure out how to try to consume it the best you can. And I hope there is a more concerted effort from the broadcast community, you know, from the people at NBC Universal and Comcast to go, hey, you know, we got something here. Let's try to give it a favorable time slot, or let's try to do something a little bit different. And they won't, because they don't care. They just don't. The executives at NBC, they don't care. It's just how it is. So that's a very frustrating thing. And if you're an LPGA fan, then you're frustrated. If you're not and you don't even know, I would highly encourage you to watch the T-Mobile match play this week. It's a fun tournament. They've changed the format. They've changed it to a 96-player field. They're going to have three rounds of stroke play qualifying, which is, I really like that, actually, about a stroke or a metal match play event where you go and have metal play and then match play. And they have two rounds of qualifying, cut to the top 65 in ties, then a third round, which the aggregate score after the third round, the top eight players, and only the top eight players, get to match play. They'll have a quarterfinal and semi on Saturday, a final, and a consolation match on Sunday. I think that's awesome. I really like that. I think that's a good change. It's good for a couple of different reasons. One, for the players, when they had this be a 64-player event, and they played like the WGC match play group style format where you got three matches guaranteed and then you played down from there and you played to the top 16 and 16, 8, 4, and 2. I mean, that's a lot of matches. That's seven matches in a week from Wednesday to Sunday. That's just too much. And I think you're asking a lot of a player, especially leading into a major championship, when if you advance far enough in the tournament, if you get out of the group stage, you're playing four matches guaranteed, which means you're playing 72 holes or pretty close. And if you go further than that, then you get matches 5, 6, and 7. And now you're looking at playing two tournaments in a week. That's a lot of tournament golf to be handled before a major championship. So making this alteration, I think, is the right play. I think it'll be good. It also kind of does, it won't necessarily do the easy work of eliminating the players that aren't as good, but it does some of that work with stroke play. So I think that's a good format. I like that. They do that for the USAM. It just works out better in this format. So I'm happy they've made that change. So that's the LPGA situation and LPGA news. Hopefully you're following it. Hopefully you get invested in it. Like I said, Nelly's very fun to watch when she plays well, and her swing is just tremendous. So good for her. I wanted to relay a couple things from my experience last week in Bluffton. It doesn't have to be very long, but I really enjoyed playing with Bryson Nimmer. Played with him at this place called Riverton Point in Bluffton. It's a Jack Nicklaus design, and it is a hidden gem. It's like an $85, $90 round. It's publicly available. It's this fascinating course that was basically fallow for 12 years, 10, 12 years, because the housing development around it was put on hold because the original developers went bankrupt. They kept maintaining the course, and then new developer Toll Brothers, which is huge, bought it. They restored the golf course. It looks great. It's really fun to play. In a place where there are so many like housing development type courses that are extremely either private or extremely expensive to play, that was a really hidden gem. So if you're ever in Bluffton or the Hilton Head area, give it a look, give it a try. It was wonderful. That's it. Playing with Bryson was great. He's a good kid. We had so much fun. Good luck to him this week playing the Club Car Championship at the Landings. It's really interesting to get a sense of, and we talked about, it came up voluntarily. It wasn't like I was asking about Liv, but we were talking about some things relating to Liv and just kind of the status of golf. And I'm not going to say everything that he said. That's not the point. But it is interesting to hear just a perspective from someone who's playing on the Korn Ferry Tour and is expected to be the future of the PGA Tour, if all goes right, about how they view what's happening right now or what's not happening right now and the lack of information that they get from the PGA Tour about what is happening or their tour's current finances, or even how things operate today. And it is kind of startling that we're this far into this process and it doesn't feel like the players really know much of anything. They don't know what that money means for the PGA Tour. They don't know what that money means for the Korn Ferry Tour or the Champions Tour. They don't know how much the Champions Tour is subsidized by the PGA Tour. It's thought to be a few million dollars a year, but it's not necessarily, what it once was. And there just seem to be a lot more questions than answers. And then when players look for answers, they often just kind of get shut down or they get a response that doesn't really tell them anything. And I can see why players are frustrated. I can see why players at the PGA Tour level are frustrated because they're looking for answers. They're looking for more. And for one, they're not getting it because it's a secret negotiation. And two, they're not getting it because their leadership tends to kind of keep them at bay, tends to keep them, I wouldn't say in the dark, but not as well informed as they could be. And that creates players who have a contempt or a lack of trust. But at the same time, they have to support this tour. They have to support the organization because what other choice do you have? Whether you like Liv or not, they have 54 spots. So they can't just open it up for everybody. And the money on the Korn Ferry Tour has increased. So it's been better. Would you rather play on the Korn Ferry Tour for $2 million purses, more akin to what you see week to week on the DP World Tour or the LPGA? Sure, yeah. And maybe that day is coming because if a new PGA Tour takes shape that looks more like the signature events plus others to form this schedule, then the PGA Tour is going to have to find a way to balance out the money and balance out the cards so that the players who either lose spots or whatever from the PGA Tour going to the signature stuff, they get opportunities to play. And I think there's so much up in the air right now. And it really fascinates me because I would think as a player, on one hand, you want to know, right? Like you just want information. You want to know about your future. You want to know what you're playing for, what you got to play to. But at the same time, you can kind of just put that to the side and go, okay, well, some other people are working on that. So I don't need to worry about that as much until I need to worry about it. And I think part of me wonders if that's a corollary to the results that we have seen so far this year on the PGA Tour, where you've had, with the exception of Scottie Scheffler and Hideki Matsuyama and Wyndham Clark, most of the top players have not been the best contenders this year, the most frequent contenders. And part of me just wonders if, as Xander Schauffele said of the Players, it's kind of not fun coming to work when there's so much drama, when there's so much non-golf stuff to talk about beyond the old school scuttlebutt of, you know, whose personal life is a wreck, whose relationships are in trouble, who got too drunk last night doing something. You know, those types of stuff that, like, everyone would talk about their workplace, or that would come up in every workplace. Not necessarily everyone would talk about, but would come up in a lot of workplaces. And I think that's made this year weird. I think, thinking about the Masters, I think it'll be weird. So I don't know what to expect next week from Augusta National, but I think one of two outcome sets are possible. You either get like a live player who wins because they feel almost kind of the most peace of mind about their decisions, right? They made their money. They don't care. So Brooks Rahm, Joaquin Niemann to a degree, although I think Niemann will very much feel pressure because it's his opportunity to earn world ranking points. It's his opportunity to kind of convince people that he's as good as he's been playing on live. And the Australian Open win. You know, that he's got some pressure to apply. But Scottie Scheffler is clearly the best player on the planet. He's got nothing to be worried about. He's got plenty of money. And he's not involved in the politics of it because that's not his interest. So, you know, are those top players with peace of mind the most likely to play well? Or do we get a continuation of what this season has looked like? And you have player after player, a good player just kind of fall by the wayside, and we get some unexpected outcome, relatively unexpected outcome. I'm not saying like a Fuzzy Zeller kind of situation where a first-timer wins for the second time ever, but we shall see. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the show. A little bit of a catch-up, a little bit of not, but we'll have plenty to talk about this week, I'm sure. We've got the Valero Texas Open, T-Mobile Match Play, the Club Car Championship on the Korn Ferry Tour. The Live Golf series is back at Trump Doral if you're interested. I don't think there's a Champions Tour event this week. I think that comes again in a couple weeks. So pretty full schedule, all things told, but we'll have plenty to talk about, I'm sure. Get a hold of me, Ryan, at thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy Golf. Find us on MSN.com if you want to check us out there, and check our videos at the Golf News Net channel. You can find us there. If not, hey, I'm just giving you an option. But we'll be back tomorrow with another show. Thanks so much for listening. We will catch you next time on Two of the First.